Welcome to another episode of the Wamadhai podcast. And since this month, is celebrating women, I'm very, very honored to have a representative from the Kenya Association of Manufacturers, KAM in short. Her name is Sally Cahill, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm so glad to be conversing with you. My name is Sally Cahill. I work for the Kenya Association of Manufacturers. I wear two hats at the association. So I head the communications and marketing department, but I am also the lead coordinator for the Women in Manufacturing program at the association.
Fantastic.
Yes.
The reason why you're here, is because of your, second role, the lead for women in manufacturing.
Yeah.
So, to start us off, please let us know, what's the status of women in manufacturing in Kenya?
So, the percentage of women in manufacturing in the country is quite negligible. And that's also reflective of the percentage of women in manufacturing across around the globe. So the sector has always historically been very male-dominated, largely, but there are some places in the world, obviously, where you'd find women taking up more roles. But in Kenya, very negligible. We still have a lot of women who, even if they're participating in the sector, their roles are not, they're not very, they're not centric roles. They're not roles that are giving a lot of impact or towards the bottom line or towards meeting the economic goals of the nation. So we have women, but they're on the peripheries of the sector, so to speak.
As come, what are some of your efforts to increase the number of women who are engaged in manufacturing and not, obviously not in the periphery,
but
who are, at the center of things?
At the center.
Yeah.
So funny story. Okay, it's not really funny. It's a bit unfunny. But so how we started the Women in Manufacturing program, it was started in 2017.
Yeah.
And how we started the program is because, let me first say that Kenya Association of Manufacturers is this year 62 years old. So of all the business member associations in Kenya, Kenya Association of Manufacturers is one of the most established associations. We usually say we are older than the nation.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite an old association and has been playing a very critical role in terms of economic development and working very closely with very relevant stakeholders like government. So in all of this time, up until 2017, when we were about 57 years old, we didn't have any female chairpersons heading the association.
Mm.
And so for the first time in 2017, we had the first female chair.
Oh, that was Flora Mutahi.
Yes, that was Flora Mutahi, exactly, the founder of Melvin's Tea.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what? Wait, what a joke. We can't wait another 57 years to see another representation at such a significant association, knowing what it does for the sector and for the economy. This was a huge sort of glaring testament to the place of women in the sector. And so that's how we started the Women in Manufacturing program. We just said we have to take advantage of this here thing and then now do something about it as an association. So that's how it came about. And from forming the Women in Manufacturing program, some of the interventions we've been trying to do is mentorship and linkages for the women in the sector. We work very closely with our SME hub, our manufacturing SME hub, because you find a lot of women in the manufacturing sector are actually micro and small businesses, unfortunately. So when we work with the SME hub, we get them into business growth programs to try and figure out how they can scale their businesses. How can they also get into local, regional, and global value chains in order for them to then play a more prominent role for the economy and stabilize their businesses, be profitable, offer employment, such and such. And so that's what's been happening since 2017. A key milestone in 2020 is that we launched our very first Women in Manufacturing report study in the country. So believe it or not, before last year, there wasn't such data existing in the country. Nobody had data on where women are at in manufacturing, who owns, which women own, which companies in the sector, in which industries or within which sectors in manufacturing, and where do they work? You know, where do you find most women in terms of formal employment within the sector? So we released the study. I must say it's been quite a key milestone for us as a program, because it then enables us to have conversations that are tangible and can yield some result with government and other key stakeholders. So these are some of the interventions that we are trying to make, because the report study allows us to then have data upon which we can then build significant policies for specifically women in manufacturing in the country going forward.
What were the key highlights of the report?
So some of the key highlights in the report, we were looking at both women on in terms of employment in the sector, and both women who own businesses or have founded businesses. And I think some of what we found in the report is moving on year to year, because we looked at 2018, 2019, what was the formal employment of women in the manufacturing sector like, and the increment of women in the sector within that 1 year was only 1%. So, yeah. So I think if we were doing a study on, let's say, men, how were they employed between 2018 and 2019, I think you would find that's quite a huge number. It wouldn't be 1%, that's for sure.
That's true, yeah. I mean, that's really, really
and
low.
And so also, I think another key highlight, we were trying to look at the policy and legislative frameworks around the women, generally women in the country, because we had to start there from the basics. And obviously we looked at some of the policy and legislative frameworks, and we saw that most of them are gender neutral. Only the Constitution of Kenya and the Land Act are gender transformative. So many of them are and the Public Procurement Act of 2015, that's gender sensitive. But many of them are gender neutral. So it's neither here nor there. So fair work policies, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, it's just fair work policies, and let's implement that. Whereas we know that women have very unique needs, especially when it comes to maybe things like safety in the workplace, in order for then companies to recruit and retain that talent when it comes to women. Yeah. So those were some of the highlights. We also looked at family businesses. It turns out actually that family businesses in Kenya do trust their businesses in the hands of women. So the percentage of male ownership and female ownership in family businesses in the sector was actually at par. It says something. We also looked at the corporate scene. Scrap the word obviously, but I say obviously with context, and let me just say that. So the multinational companies were leading in terms of female representatives in the manufacturing sector at CEO and board level.
Senior level.
Yes, and I'm saying obviously because that is a conversation that has obviously taken root on the global scene and is slowly sort of cascading into the local manufacturing sector or into the local environment. So yes, that's why I said obviously. But those were some of the highlights. And it was a formative study, let me say, also because we were very ambitious. You can imagine we were looking at both employment, and then we're looking at ownership and who's founding and trying to figure out what we can come out with. And we are just hoping that as the program continues to grow, because we've done a countrywide dissemination, and you'd be surprised what some counties are doing actually for women in different parts of their counties.
Example?
So, for example, like Nakuru.
Yeah.
Nakuru is putting up SEZs. And they're very specific. Special economic zones, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're very specific that the SMEs they want there are women. Mm-hmm. They're very, very specific. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we are talking to associations like Kenya Association of Manufacturers to bring their women, because we don't want to see the same old people who have always dominated the sector coming and taking advantage of the special economic zones, because they have this special catering for them to be able to make businesses grow. Mm-hmm. So they're really looking at women's businesses, and they're very excited to be having women in the manufacturing sector on board. So the thing is, at times they won't find women in the manufacturing sector because they're not there. So maybe you're looking for a woman in steel, you find one or two, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then there's like 80 businesses that don't have women, are not founded by women, and are not centered around women.
Yeah.
So you have Nakuru County. We went also to Nyeri. So Nyeri does not, when we spoke to the Minister of Trade, County Government of Nyeri, she is open. She's very open to having women on board.
Yeah.
But they were saying, unfortunately, manufacturing business has not taken root. The manufacturing sector has not taken root in Nyeri.
That's true.
And so, yes, you come from Nyeri, you would know. So, yeah, so she was saying we need to now have a serious conversation, because if you make a county competitive enough to bring investment in terms of manufacturing, then those people are the ones to offer employment or bring on board the women of Nyeri into their value chains or supply chains. You know what I mean? That's another way to do it.
Mm.
So those are some of the conversations we are having that this report is eliciting just by the mere virtue of it actually existing.
Basically providing information.
Yes, yes. And forcing people to actually have the conversation. Because before you just say women in manufacturing, and everyone in the boardroom would turn like, what is that? Does that like the imagination of there being such a thing as women in the manufacturing sector was just, far-fetched. So here we are, making it a very centric conversation.
Interesting, and I'm happy to to hear, especially Nakuru is is setting up those special economic zones, and they're women centric. Now, I feel like the next question obviously should be about, what are the opportunities that you see, for women in manufacturing, going forward, currently and going forward?
I think there are a lot of opportunities for women. First of all, let me just start by saying it's important that we make the manufacturing sector in and of itself competitive. Because if we make the sector competitive, then it's productive. When the sector is productive, it kind of opens up, blossoms like a flower. So it gives everybody the opportunity to get from its nectar. It gives everybody the opportunity to benefit from it. So the sector, because if we find that we have generally policies that are constricting the sector in and of itself, then it makes it even harder for women to participate. Do you understand? But there's a lot of opportunities for women in manufacturing. I think when COVID struck, we saw a lot of sectors, some sectors coming up. For example, within the pharmaceutical sector, we had and the medical medi-pharma within manufacturing. We had people now doing PPEs, making masks, but more other things came up, like do we have enough gumboots, do we have enough like safety equipment generally. Those are some sectors that could include women and would, because right now where you find a lot of women is the food and beverage sector. And then where they are, they're also like, so they're all in the food and beverage sector, and then they're all like making yogurt and it's not bad, but I'm just saying we need to have more women spread out across sectors within the manufacturing sector. So again, another sector that flourished during COVID was the packaging sort of industries.
Because of delivery.
Yes, because of delivering, because of safe handling measures. Mm. And those are some of the things that as a country we can then look at, how do we take advantage of this and create them and sustain the market for it, because the market was created. Mm. So how do we sustain the market? And that is another area which can plug women into it. But over and above that, as Kenya Association of Manufacturers, we do categorize different sectors. We have 14 sectors within the manufacturing sector. So this is rubber, plastic, steel, metal, paper and paperboard, timber, like we have salt, sugar. So all of these sectors are within the manufacturing sector. And I do think there's a lot of opportunity. The only thing is that the challenges that hinder the participation of women, number one, including, for example, capital is the most obvious that anyone will tell you we can't access capital. Mm. And I know you're thinking, oh, I know a lot of banks that have launched things for women.
But
whenever you talk to women, especially in the counties, we are like, okay, which bank are you in? Then somebody names a bank. Mm. And then they're like, okay, did they tell you they have something for women? Yeah, they say every year. They're like, we have something for SMEs, Kujeni, we have something for women. Yeah. But can they really access these funds? And I think we need to start getting innovative around collateral.
Yeah.
What do we ask for as collateral? Because I did say that the Constitution of Kenya is very transformative, gender transformative.
Inclusive.
Talks about even the Land Act talks about how women can own land now, but is there implementation? So as long as somebody's husband is walking around with a title deed in his mufuko because he doesn't want to leave it at home, how does the wife then use that as collateral? I think we need to start as a market looking at some of how the cultural practices impact the implementation or lack thereof of policy, and then now become innovative around collateral. But also other women were like, look, they're asking us for lists as long as the arm of the law to access this capital. We can't get it. We can't get the money. So capital is one. And I think another thing is knowledge. There's a lot of, there's a really huge knowledge gap within the manufacturing sector that is impeding the participation of women. And as Kenya Association of Manufacturers, we are trying to bridge that knowledge gap. We are hoping that out of this information we've collected from the counties, we can start a database specifically for women in manufacturing. Because some women, how do I move my coconut oil from my kitchen to Carrefour or to Naivas? So some women don't know the processes. What are ISO standard certification required? Such things. Where do you get, how do you package? Where do you get the two packaging materials for your products? Just basics, and people don't know that. You have to ask James Wamadai, who has to ask Nani, who has to ask. And I think that's that sort of knowledge is missing. But also in terms of professionals, like maybe, for example, let's say lawyers who are trained to deal specifically with issues of manufacturing. Do you know what I mean? So
yes,
we are looking also at like business services that can be tailored specifically for manufacturing issues. Because sometimes you find manufacturing issues are not like the other people's issues. You know, you have, if you have to move your goods from Nyeri to Meru, you know you have to pay how much in terms of levies, fees and charges. And who's going to stand up for you? Because maybe not all businesses face that, but you face that, you know. So there are those kinds of challenges, but the opportunities exist. I think the opportunities are massive. And we need to start capitalizing on them as a country. So first things first, let's work with what we have. We have a manufacturing sector that needs to thrive. How do we make it open up? Yeah. So that more women are able to join and join at a better capacity.
Interesting. You've talked about access to capital, and I feel that's a serious challenge for women in business in general. But then now it's very acute when it's in manufacturing because manufacturing costs quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, so access to capital is actually really important.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think, is a way forward as far as, women-friendly policies, are concerned, so that you don't have a situation where someone has a really, really great idea, but the only reason they're not able to execute it is maybe because of a lack of capital or a lack of, women-friendly policies and regulations.
Okay, so when we're talking to some of our members and potential members of the association, especially in counties, they're like, okay, we are aware of the funds even given by government that target maybe women and youth. The problem is, how accessible are these funds? So there's the issue of accessibility, number one.
Mm.
In some counties,
yeah.
When we had the minister in the room, that is when people were finding out that the county has funds. So before our forum, they didn't know. So there's the accessibility, where are they? But where is the information on how we can get these funds? Because some counties are like, guys, but we actually have money. And the women are like, but where is this money? We didn't know. We've just seen you here today. Now we know there's money. So now tell us. So I think the making it accessible, I think also something very critical that a lady in Kisumu mentioned, one of our members, she said, look, even where you put these offices for where you're giving the funding, you can't be saying we are giving funding and then your office is in some place. I have to take two matatus. When I get there, it's uko on the 12th floor. So, I mean, just the issue of accessibility is big, whether it's physical or knowledge-wise.
Yeah.
And then also, I think I've mentioned the issue of collateral. Let's get creative. Let's look at, because I know there are some, I can't remember which, I'll get back to you on which fund this was.
Yeah.
But one of them was like, one way that they support the business is if you need to process, let's say, cheese or milk or whatever, the machine that you will get, that is the collateral. So I buy the machine for you. And then we work out a period of time that you will pay me back my money. If your business is not profitable within this period of time, can we then consider taking back the machine or can we consider other alternatives?
Yeah.
You see, by doing that, you've enabled me to start my business.
That's true.
And you've made it possible for my vision to become very tangible. So it's no longer a work plan on a paper.
Yeah.
There's a machine these guys have given you. They're like, twende kazi.
Yeah.
So I think that's very encouraging. So that's why what I mean about innovating strategies around funding and around capital.
Yeah.
And also just thinking further and larger. And I know you talked about capital in specific, but also just working on policy legislative frameworks and ensuring that now we move from gender neutral to gender specific and gender transformative as a country. And I think that is the next conversation that we are going to have with different stakeholders. We want to talk to Ministry of Education, because that's a really big part. We lose a lot of women between secondary school to TVET. Few move into TVET institutions. Fewer still move into the manufacturing sector industries. So somewhere along the pipeline, women fall off. What happens? Because if you have 100 moving from secondary into engineering, and then from the engineering course, you have like 25. And then in the first year in industry, moving into the second year, you have now 5. What happens? So I think we need to figure out what's going wrong with that pipeline and sort of fix the issue of participation of women in the sector.
Yeah, and I feel there needs to be a lot of protection, and not just for women, but for all vulnerable groups, so that you ensure that they're able to survive, you know, like you said, from secondary to, you know, professional level, and hopefully to like a managerial or an ownership.
Exactly.
You know, spot, because if you think about it, not only do people need the skill, not only do people need, you know, obviously the capital, but you also on the employment side, you need as many women as possible, you know, to be in the pipeline, because that is what, in my opinion, will support, you know, will also support the agenda. Because, you know, sometimes, especially if you think about representation, part of the reason why some products are not women friendly because ownership is male. Most of the engineers, the workforce is male. The senior leadership is male. How are you going to have?
I know.
Yeah, so how are you going to have women centric products?
Yes.
If you don't have women working, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
Sometimes you be in a room and then someone is, you know, I mean, is saying, you know, I mean, let's put plastic in a sanitary pad, and then the woman will be like, no,
that doesn't work. Exactly.
wouldn't work, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
So
I feel like, you know, so I feel like, a lot of work, you know, needs to be done, you know, for that to happen.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like this is, you know, 2020, and I can count, you know, I can count many success stories that I know now.
Yes.
That I didn't know, you know, 10 years ago. And I feel like there's some progress. Unfortunately, like you said, it's like, you know, negligible.
If you look at
the other gender,
yeah.
You know, but I feel like, you know, with more conversations like this, and hopefully, you know, what you guys are doing around policy and legislation and regulations and all that stuff, I feel like, you know, I mean, there's, you know, there's a way, and I'd like you to speak more about maybe legislation, now that you've talked about the Constitution and how it is, you know, gender friendly. What do you think? You talked about policies,
yeah.
But do you think there's a need for legislation as far as some of these things are concerned, or what kind of interventions at that level can help the space?
I think, you know, in Kenya, the way things work and
yeah.
how I've learned it since I've been in the policy advocacy space is unless something is anchored in law,
yeah.
it's very difficult to move.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very difficult to have a win. It's very difficult to have something tangible.
Yeah.
So recognizing, for example, even in general, recognizing unpaid care work
yeah.
is something that we talk about. I know there's a lot of conversation, especially in the national level about that. But where is it in terms of law, and how much is it implemented? Okay. And then there are things, for example, when you talk to some companies, small and medium companies, not really the micros, because those ones are starting up. But if you have small and medium companies, maybe even after a pandemic,
yeah.
trying to break even or trying to come up, trying to rebound,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them will be like, right now, if I'm hiring,
mm-hmm.
it should be very difficult for me to hire women of child who can give children, who are of childbirth
age,
because they find them very expensive.
Yeah.
And so right there, you already have a bias against these women,
mm.
but it's a bias that is coming from something very real.
Yeah.
Because if you listen, and I know you know this,
mm.
every year these taxes are being added into businesses
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
Forget the county levies and charges, which are forever there. Forget the non-tariff barriers, which we, every year, these taxes.
I think
people are like, okay, you want me to pay all of this? Where is the government meeting me halfway?
Yeah.
And in terms of gender parity or bridging the gender gap within the manufacturing sector and in some of these companies, if you talk to some of our members within that space, small and medium, they'd be like, of course they're expensive, but look, if the government can give us an incentive, tax incentive, say, James, if you take 50% of your workers as women, we can come to the table and take these kinds of things off of you in terms of taxes. So you only meet these taxes because you're without necessarily damaging the wages or the salaries that would go to these women.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So then that way there's an incentive for the sector to pick up more women, and especially the businesses that are trying to come up. Of course, some businesses can take up that and they budget for it. They budget, okay, let's say at the beginning of the year, let's budget 10 women will be out on maternity leave. For them, it's no problem. But for the businesses that are trying to grow, it can be a bit of a challenge.
Hard, yeah.
So those kinds of things need to be somewhere they need to be anchored somewhere in the law.
In the law.
Yeah. And Ministry of Labor is one of those people that we're actually going to engage in some of these conversations to see how can we incentivize people to take up, and not just take up women because they're cheap labor. That's also another thing. Eh? Mm. So don't say, I like women because they, no. Mm. Take women because, you know, and there's an incentive because you're going to give them places where they can actually make a huge impact for your business.
Yeah.
So don't take them and then put them in the peripheries just to meet the quota. You know, there's also that. So those kinds of conversations need to be had.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and thank you. You know, I mean, thank you so much for the, you know, for the insight. What are your last thoughts, you know, on this issue? And you know, what would you say is a association sort of like outlook, maybe like 5 years from now?
Okay, so for me, I think I would say in terms of women in manufacturing, as long as generally women look, or rather people, the world looks at women's issues as CSR, then we're not going to progress. Because that's what happens. A lot of people start, yes, let's do this women thing. And then you guys are doing it as as I feel good. Let's tick the box. Let's, you know, as long as you look at women's issues as CSR, it's not, we are not going to succeed.
True.
And we are always going to leave half the population out of economic development discussions. And then we, it's just like we're circling around the same place. There's no advancement. So we really need to start looking at women's issues as centric and how they're affected by cultural practices. Because I'm here talking to you right now about these things, but they're at that level. But then there's a lady in Elgeyo Marakwet who has no agency, who wakes up every morning and she's told, okay, your work is to go get impregnated by whoever. So how do I convince that woman that she has talent and skill, that she can come into the market and give her talent and skill and contribute towards the economic goal of the country? How do I do that? So we need to start marrying the two. The outlook for Kenya Association of Manufacturers, I think in the next 5 years, we are going deeper into this discussion. As I said, the next step for us is to engage relevant stakeholders. We've always talked to these ministries on different things, but never on gender. And so now let's start sitting down and talking specifically about gender.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time. You know, I really, really enjoyed that. And, you know, and some of these things, I always find that, you know, I mean, it's a women in business thing, but it's interesting now to discover women in business in challenges on women in business.
Yes.
In manufacturing.
Yes.
So that's really quite interesting. And I, you know, I feel that we should definitely do a part two of this, you know, maybe later in the year or next year when you launch your next report. I feel the your insights then, especially with your work with the counties, and if you do work with the county, other counties, etc., that would be really cool, and your engagement with government and in any legislation that will have come through. Anyway, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sally. I really had a good time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Semmerbox, for making this podcast possible. And see you next time.